Tonight on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, we've got Brandon C. Price riding sidecar, as well as Bianca Bosker, a.k.a. the Cork Dork, at 12:05. We also have Jim Murphy from sportsbettingexperts.com, betting on to see if David Ross is going to take home the crown for Dancing with the Stars. And get your calls in for Dr. Dingman at 1:05. And now, here she is, Patty Vasquez.
Thank you so much for joining us Pretty Late. I am Patty Vasquez and live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I was planning to head down to Springfield, but, you know, I looked at the slate of things they were going to deliberate on, and even though they have come to an agreement in the Senate for a grand bargain, there are elements of it that were not passed, which some speculate means that it's probably going to get held up in the House. The governor was not behind it. So hopefully we'll get a chance to check in with some legislators, if not tonight, and hopefully in the next couple of days. But they all seem to be laying low. It's interesting, Brandon, when things are hitting the fan, everyone's like, I actually sent a text to one legislator who has been on the show regularly before, but has not responded to any of my texts for like the last 2 weeks. And he's on one side of the aisle. And I've said, hey, want to check in with you? Love to hear your side of the story, see what's going on. No response to 6 texts. So tonight I gave I completely understand this will be the last time I ever ask you to be on my show. I mean, because I really do want to get the other side of the story, the other perspective. And if I put in the request and someone says no, or someone says no, that's one thing. I'm busy. It's kind of late for me. I get that. That's all. Those are the texts I got from everybody on the other side of the aisle tonight. Hey, I'll be asleep. But, you know, we got a lot of work to do in the morning. I probably can't stay up. They all responded. But on the other side of the aisle, I usually get no response whatsoever. And it's just sort of weird. We have an update coming in through the National Weather Service. And I will read that update. There is a severe thunderstorm warning for DuPage, Cook, and Lake beginning at 11:11 right now. So it's beginning right now, and that's ending in an hour at 12:11. And that's, again, from the National Weather Service. That was DuPage, Cook, and Lake counties have been issued a severe thunderstorm warning. Do you have the Doppler? Wow, that's a huge band of storms coming our way. So, and the winds are pretty rough on the Kennedy. Esmeralda, there's a strange traffic pattern on the Kennedy. As you mentioned, there's some construction on the Kennedy. There was one point where they were picking them up as they were moving a truck. So it was kind of dicey where some people were cutting over a little bit too early.
Yeah, it's a lot of moving road work that they do.
Yes, a lot of that. And the thing is, in this weather, everybody, take it easy. You know, they're out there. They've got equipment, in particular those barrels and those workhorses. You know, when the wind picks up, they're going to be in the line of fire when it comes to that stuff. So please just be cautious for your own safety, and especially for the safety of the men and women that are working on our roads tonight. So please be careful. Everyone be careful. We'll be keeping you updated on the weather as things develop. Brandon just showed me it looks like it's moving just straight east.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's a big line.
But it looks like a narrow band, so like once it hits, it looks like it's going to be in and out.
I never pretend to understand weather up here. It's just foolish to ever think like, oh, I know today. Today I know.
Is that because Texas is just so
predictable?
Is it predictable?
Like, I mean,
you guys get tornadoes
as
well. Severe weather there too.
Yeah, a little northern Texas for sure. More towards Oklahoma. We got dust storms in West Texas, which were interesting and different than here. But I used to never think like, oh, what layers? What am I need to wear today?
Oh, the weather has
been
very
strange.
I'll
just walk outside with the same outfit all year. And so that took years to get used to, of like, oh, yes, I can't just walk outside.
It makes you feel a little crazy when, especially this weather, because it's 80 degrees. Like today, tomorrow, it will be in the 80s. Friday, 50.
Mm-hmm.
Just so you know.
Oh, it's good for business.
Is that good for business?
Absolutely.
Yeah, when it's cooler out because people aren't out barbecuing and hanging out.
The second they open all the patios up, which everybody up here opens them up, they're like, oh, it's 45 degrees.
I know.
Let's serve outside.
Earmuffs, scarves, and a pair of flip-flops are how we roll when it gets to be
there
like that.
There were people swimming today.
I know. It was hot.
That's absurd. No.
In the lake?
Yes.
Okay, so the lake water is about, if I recall correctly, it's about 52, 53 degrees right now.
I don't have a bearing on what that feels like, though.
Very cold.
That's icy. I know what 52 degrees in the air feels like.
Well, if freezing is 32 degrees, this is barely 20 degrees warmer than that. Isn't that,
Yeah, no, I mean, I would just choose to never experience it myself.
Let's go jump in the lake right now.
Have you ever done this polar bear thing
No.
that people do?
No, I've gone down. It's always every single year. It is always on the exact same day as the fight for air climb.
That's tough.
I know. That
would be tough to do both in one day.
So. Well, and I've wanted to, but once you climb four buildings, it's kind of hard to drag yourself. I know. I thought of that too, but I did not make it over there. I can't remember why I didn't make it this time. Oh, my niece came into town, and she was not interested in jumping in
the
lake.
So you would do it, though?
I absolutely would do it. It's for Special Olympics.
I had a passenger that was telling me about it a while ago when I was driving Uber, and he just said he does it every year, and it's his soul cleanse, and it's his New Year's, and it's the way he just washes off the badness of the year. And I was like, oh, man. I wish that I was like brave enough to experience that.
Well, you know who does it up and does an extraordinary job? She has a whole team. Jen Kramer, who's the director of special events at entertainment at Navy Pier. She always has a theme. Like last year, it was emojis. So everyone had like these big emojis. They jumped in the lake and, you know, with smiley faces and kissy faces.
I'd be so afraid. I don't know if I can handle props.
Oh, she does props. She does costumes.
How is that okay? How are you okay when that happens?
When you jump in the lake?
Yeah. I mean, like you see like on, you know, movies, people die. It's a Wonderful Life. That kid died.
You jump in, you jump out. You don't stay there. Wow, you went with It's a Wonderful Life with a kid going down. I didn't even catch that. I apologize. It went right over my head. Well, he didn't die. Well, had George not been there, his little brother would have died.
Yeah, I mean,
died.
Like, you know, so you just, how long can you
be in there? Well, that's freezing
weather. There?
That was in the middle of winter.
Well,
and it was ice.
You know,
he fell through
medical
the ice.
Technology's come a long way. It still seems like it'd be bad for you.
I don't know. 312-981-7200. Has anyone ever jumped in the lake for the polar? I don't want to dissuade anyone from ever doing it again. But
no,
the polar,
try it. I personally just won't. But I want everyone to try anything they want.
Well, because my mom and Esmeralda, I'll bet your mom is like this too. If you're outside in really cold weather, what are you going to get? Pneumonia. Does your mom say that? My mom always says, you're going to get pneumonia. You're going to die if you go jump in the lake when it's like cold like that.
Here you'll get your infections.
Well, do you, I read one day, and I used to take cold showers when I was a kid. I don't know why. I used to take icy cold showers. Like, that was my thing. Like,
ooh.
And now I've tried to go back, and I've read this thing where you're supposed to take, like, you're supposed to alternate between warm and cold water for your metabolism or something. So
I'll try anything.
I've been trying that, and it's hard. And I realized today, I'm like, you know what? Why it's hard is that I'm not doing anything when I turn it on cold. I just stand there and brace myself.
Just take it.
I know. I'm like, oh, and I count like for 20 or 30 seconds of icy cold water. And I need to start being more active while I'm dousing myself with icy.
Yeah, I guess if you're moving around,
maybe
it's really good for inflammation.
I don't know if I would think warm water. Well, let's do some research during the break, and we'll talk about it when we come back. 312-981-7200. Do you do that? Does anybody out there, have you read that you're supposed to take like icy cold showers or alternate between hot and cold? I can't remember what the reasoning is behind it, so maybe someone can help me out. 312-981-7200. You can call or text us. Also, follow us on Facebook. That's Patty V Show on Facebook. On Twitter, we're at Patty Vasquez, CHI. And if you happen to need to fall asleep, to drift off, we completely understand. We'll miss you when you're gone, when you've drifted off. But you can always catch the rest of the show on iTunes. Subscribe to the podcast. You can search for WGN Radio and for Patty Vasquez, and it'll be right there. More after this on 720 WGN. Rain makes cold. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. We have a weather update from Jan. Hey, Jan, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. What about you?
Very well. Where are you calling from?
Mount Prospect.
And what's the weather going? What's the weather doing up by you?
Well, I just looked out to the south and west, and there's a lot of lightning in the sky.
Oh, it's lighting up, isn't
it? Not thunder, but a lot of lightning.
Oh, see, now it's when you start counting, waiting for the... Hold on, what's the rule about thunder and lightning? I think it's the when you see lightning and you count for thunder, that's how, if it's getting closer.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
So she's not hearing any thunder yet, so it's not quite there.
I don't hear
there.
Any thunder yet, but there's a lot of lightning in the sky.
It's almost creepy to have thunder, to have lightning with
it's
no
like
thunder.
When it rains and the sun's out.
Yeah, it's very strange. What do you do to prepare ahead of a storm like this, Jan, if we're not quite sure how strong it's going to get?
Pardon?
How do you prepare for, like, do you have any patio furniture you make sure you bring inside? What precautions do you take in a storm?
Well, this morning they said the high wind, so I put all the chairs down.
Right. Flip them down. so they're not blowing around. That makes sense.
Right. Right.
All right. Well, I hope everything's all right. If it gets severe by you, give us a call back, okay?
Thank you, ma'am.
Appreciate it. Have a great night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. When you were in Texas, since you didn't have tornado, but there, see, were you in middle Texas? We're in Texas.
Well, we were in Dallas, and then we were out in Abilene.
Okay, so.
Nearest.
So more tornadoes toward Abilene, I would think.
Definitely. And then, honestly, a little bit more north of there, too. Mm-hmm. You start getting into the like Panhandle, Lubbock, towards Oklahoma.
Because you get hurricanes down in the Gulf.
And right, then, Galveston's famously hurricaned all the time.
There was once a hurricane there that like had lasting effects as a direct line up through Chicago. We had flooding here. It was surreal.
I've lived all over the Gulf Coast, and the hurricanes are just insane. I remember one, I want to say Andrew, but it early mid-90s.
Was that Florida? I don't know.
This would have been Mobile and Pensacola.
This is you're
the Mobile
right.
Bay. They had footage of the bay being entirely empty.
Ugh.
Shipwreck. And like, it was crazy because the water got pulled out towards the storm before it came back in.
See, talk about creepy weather.
It was crazy. That was when my dad was a newscaster in Mobile. They covered that.
I think you're right. I think that was Andrew, and it was the early 90s, like 92, maybe.
The
spring of 93.
The highway were always at an angle from then on.
Really? Mm-hmm. They just never know. What are you going to do?
What, you push them back?
Right? Tilt them back up? Just leave them as they are?
That's a waste of taxpayer dollars.
Yeah, with weather like this, again, there is a severe thunderstorm warning for the Cook, Lake, and DuPage counties. That's going from now until 12/11, and we will keep you updated on that. Again, the National Weather Service has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for DuPage, Cook, and Lake County. And we will continue to keep you updated. And there's a big band of storms coming across. That's the information I'm getting right now. If you have weather that you want to report, we, of course, appreciate your input. We'd love to have you update us. 312-981-7200. Give us a call or text us again at 312-981-7200. I actually, during one big storm, they evacuated Soldier Field one year, not too long ago. I want to say like maybe 4 years ago. And it looked awful. But my son was, so Griffin might have been even younger. He's 13 now, so maybe he was around 7 or so, and he was really worried. You know, I always have the radio on, mm-hmm. so he was hearing the weather updates and he was getting scared. So, you know, what I realized for him, and maybe even for me, maybe for everybody, is to feel proactive. Like, what can you do ahead of it? Like, what's the worst thing that could happen, right? Is that your house mm-hmm. is just, obviously, you know, you want to make sure you're safe. So we square that away. We make sure we know what our escape route is, whether it's going in the basement, you know, windowless rooms, things like that. So what else are you worried about? And he was like, well, I don't want to lose all of our things. So we went around the house and decided what was most important to us. And I put them in a tub, like, you know, wedding photos, baby pictures, all kinds of things like that. And I said, we will keep this in the basement. And we took it down to the basement. Mm-hmm. And those things are still in the tub in the basement. So I'm already ready for the storm. Yes. I haven't touched them. Maybe I don't need those things if they've been in the tub ever since. Maybe I didn't need them quite so much. We have Curran, who is in Boone County. Hey, Curran, how are you doing?
Hello, I'm good. How are you guys?
Very well. How's the weather by you in Boone County?
Oh, well, we spent a half an hour in the basement or so. We had two rounds of sirens, lost a tree in the back.
Wow.
But yeah, I hate to say we're kind of used to it here in Boone County. So
you have a whole survival plan in place, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. A lot of bungee cords, and to hold things down, you want to keep or you bring it in. You'll lose it. It'll be gone.
Right.
So.
Yeah, no doubt. And so you have, so your basement is the secure place that you go when storms start coming?
It absolutely has to be. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
What is the area of Boone County? What towns would we
Belvedere,
be familiar? Okay.
Belvedere, Poplar Grove.
Mm-hmm.
We've had two tornadoes here since I've lived here, 14 years. So, within just a few miles of my house. So we just, you know, you learn to, I'm kind of a weather geek and I pay attention. It's important to me to pay attention, so I do.
I don't think it makes you a weather geek, but if you're a self-proclaimed weather geek, I think that makes it
awesome.
Weather awesome.
You know, you can see forever with a lot of corn out here, so you can see across fields forever, and it's an amazing transformation. You see the weather rolling in. It's pretty intense. So, but now it's freezing here. It's about, you know, 62 degrees, 60 degrees.
I love our standards. Once we hit 90 degrees in Illinois, we're like, once it gets down to 60, yeah. We're like, this is too cold. This is chilly.
It is a little cold, actually, but no, much better than today. I'm not a big heat fan, but But yeah, we're good here. The basement was very nice.
You're like staying cool in the basement. As long as everybody's okay, that's the important thing.
And absolutely correct.
And the bonus is you stayed cool. And Tom Skilling, by the way, on TV right now showing this Band of Storms. So it seems as though, is it your understanding that this is so it's Belvedere west of us?
Correct.
Okay, so presumably that the storms that are coming toward us have already blown through your town.
Absolutely. They're on the way towards you. The storm when it first started was near actually Cherry Valley in Rockford. Mm-hmm. I'm about 11 miles from Rockford. So we had two bands of storms. One earlier, we didn't get anything. Rockford got most of that. And then we got the second one here. And there was actually rotation.
Uh-huh.
So
really?
The sirens went off. But yeah, then so everything it was moving pretty quick, about 65 miles an hour. So but yeah,
all right,
just the tree is gone, everything else is in the house or safe. So
well, you can get a new tree as long as you're safe. That's the important thing. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Kurt,
have a good evening. You guys,
you too. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Again, Tom Skilling on your screen right now is if you have him on in the background, because he's saying the same thing over and over again, we'll keep talking, but he is reporting it's a thunderstorm warning. Lake DuPage and northern Cook County is what I'm seeing on the screen. Rob, is that about what you've got up there as well?
Yeah, the exact same thing that Tom Skilling is looking at right now I've got up in front of me, and it's pretty amazing because this band is moving quickly. It's very thin, but right now it's kind of angling from Racine on down into kind of west of Mundelein, Palatine. It's near Yorkville right now and the Ottawa-Peru area. So it's kind of on a from the south, it's moving up into a southeast sort of angle, but it's moving pretty quick.
It is. If it was moving as quickly as they show on that screen, you would think it would be over, but no. It's coming toward us, everybody, so be prepared. Yes, what were you going to say, Brandon?
I just feel like weather coverage, like that graphic, is the original GIF.
Is the original GIF?
Just that three or four frame
repeating. I think that Tom Skilling would be comfortable being attributed as having created the original GIF.
I'll credit him with that.
We'll live there. We'll make that our own piece of history. We are going to take a break here. And there's another, there's another severe thunderstorm warning. They're updating this for now Kendall and Kane counties beginning right now, 11:29. And ending at 12:14 a.m. So we'll keep you updated. We'll take a break here. News and more weather updates when we come back after this on 720 WGN.
Raindrops are falling on my head, and just like the guy's feet are too big for his bed, nothing seems to fit those raindrops.
Have you seen this movie, Sundance? Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid? Not this movie, but it's the movie I associate this song with. I haven't seen it in a long time. We watched the movie The Sting one night with my family. Invited some friends over and watched The Sting. And have you seen that movie? That you would love. I think you would love.
Really?
Paul Newman and Robert Redford in The Sting. It's a great movie. It's a Connor. It's a couple grifters. You know, they're pulling cons and stuff, and it's got that.
Oh, maybe I have.
Got that mischief to it, you know?
Robert Redford,
I really enjoyed it.
He rarely lets you down.
Ah, and Newman was outstanding in that movie. Esmeralda, I was telling you and Colin, you need to come over and watch. By the way, if I do invite you over to watch a movie, you have to understand a couple things about my house. It's a mess.
Oh, come on.
It's very small.
You saw my house.
I haven't seen your new place.
Not the new one, but the old one, no.
And also, when we watch a movie, it's on a deep tube television. I only have a 32-inch JVC deep tube television from 2000.
Is that how you refer to them?
Deep
tubes?
Yeah, I guess.
Like what was just a TV and
there
were then flat screens.
Well,
now flat screens are TVs and those TVs are deep tube TVs.
Well, like,
TVs.
Right?
There was even before the flat screen TVs, like mine's not a flat screen TV either. So it's still got the kind of curved screen with the big, I mean, it's like this deep.
But
like
a monitor you'd like lug to your friend's house to play like local area.
Oh, this is huge.
Games.
If you did, I mean, it's massive. I mean, this is the kind of thing where like we're just going to throw it out the window when we're done.
How do you plug new things into it?
Well, you have a job at Radio Shack for a certain amount of time, and you know how to hook up anything. I did. I worked at Radio Shack, and I can hook up anything to that.
Didn't they close all the Radio
Shacks? They closed the one by me. I'm very sad about that. There's one in Evanston, I believe.
People still repairing radios.
I'm saying. Hooking things up. We should probably address, I mean, I think the conversation, I can't ignore what happened today in Washington, D.C. over the last 24 hours. It's been very strange. We usually save it up for Friday, but a lot of people are It's interesting to watch. Like, I haven't commented online at all. I'm waiting to see what happens. I mean, that's really all. You know what? Carm asked me the other day. Mark Carman asked me last night if I was nervous about the Cubs. And I told him I can't be nervous about anything. It's not my responsibility. Like, I mean, I can be disappointed. And I am disappointed in this administration. I think that it is a shame that nothing can be done right now because there are these, you know, people are like, all these distractions and all these headlines are deterring from the work being done in the White House. But which is it? Is it the headlines or is it the cause behind the headlines? I mean, there would be no headlines without there being something to write those headlines for.
Isn't that where the blame, you know, falls?
Is on the media? That's what I've been hearing a lot of. We had someone call this week and say it was you know, people like me. It's my fault.
Well, they called Michael Flynn's, the government called us and told us what to say.
Oh, absolutely.
Which was really nice of them because this is hard. If you just keep coming up with things.
But someone called and said it was the media's fault that Michael Flynn's career was ruined and not the fact that he had, first of all, violated the agreement that he had with the United States government to not work, to not take money from Russia. He needed to have permission. But that's another thing altogether. There's so many things that have happened since Michael Flynn, but also including Michael Flynn.
Mm-hmm.
But what I find interesting, and I think I need to start doing this, is writing memos. Right. Esmeralda, like if you feel that something is out of line, right, whether it's at work, I think I should be able to write. I mean, obviously, as a comic, I write memos every day about strangers and then I put it on stage. So I kind of catalog everything that happens anyway. But none of it really rises to the occasion of, you know, having to have a special prosecutor. That's not going to happen.
They tell you that in like any HR situation nowadays, you just have written everything down, printed out every email.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
It makes sense. It's almost like your journal has some sort of legal weight.
And that's, Esmeralda, do you keep or delete your emails? I keep everything, just in the off chance. Not advertisements, but you know what I mean?
If it's personal things or work things, I just, you know, that's the joys of Google. You can, or Gmail, you can archive everything.
Exactly.
I have things from the beginning of when I got Google or the
Me
Gmail,
too.
And it's like 2004.
Mine goes back to my Yahoo email account. I have everything from the very beginning. Not everything. Sometimes I do purge.
Do you still have Yahoo?
I have three Yahoo accounts. I have one Gmail account. No, I have four Yahoo accounts. I have a lot of emails. So when people can't get a hold of me, it's because I have four Yahoos, one Gmail, one on my original business account, like for a website we had. So how many is that so far? Six?
Six.
And then I have a WGN Radio. I have six emails associated with my name at WGN Radio because somebody assigned me, they kept assigning me.
The IT department.
They did. It was like P. Vasquez, P.A. Vasquez, P.T. Vasquez, Patty Vasquez, P.A.T.T.I.E. Vasquez.
Do you have to check them all? I mean, it doesn't at that point.
I can't. So if anyone's trying to reach me, pattyhappens@gmail.com is the best way to reach me. I don't know why I'm putting that out there, but I am. Oh, we had some texts about weather. Michael, what's going on out there?
Yes, we did. From the 630, we had Elk Grove is just about to get hit. That was the most recent one. So look out, Elk Grove. From the 312, Patty, severe lightning looks like a brilliant halogen bulb approaching Glenview from the west. Very poetic.
I love that description of it.
We've got some thunderstorms in Wakanda from the 312. And that looks like... Oh, and then McHenry looks like it's exploding with thunder.
Exploding.
I love these texts.
Yes, text us some more weather.
Exploding with thunder.
And there's a halogen
bulb.
That tells a story.
Walt Whitman
bulb in Glenview. Yeah, he is. Thank you,
Walt.
I thought
of that Winnie the Pooh episode. I love it. You were like, oh, yes, Walt Whitman. I was like, yeah, remember Winnie the Pooh?
Remember that?
Both great writers.
Classics.
Come on.
More weather and special prosecutors when we come back on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. I think one of the positive things about having a special prosecutor is people can, they don't have to get mad at us anymore, right? You have somebody who is outside of...
Yeah, you've got your Ken Starr of the situation.
You have your Ken Starr. There's somebody who is completely removed from the political arena. He's a former FBI director, and it's now this, you know, we can talk about it, But the whole anger thing, like somehow it's sometimes people. I mean, people do blame us. They.
You mean us, like you and I, like
in the media.
Like,
yeah.
Okay.
And I often have to make sure people also understand that I'm a talk show host. In the same way Sean Hannity is a talk show host, in the same way Steve Cochran and the more, we're talk show hosts. Steve Bertrand is a journalist, as is Rob Martyr. I am not a journalist. We have conversations and we share our opinions and we want to hear all sides of it. So I have my opinion and I think that people know that where I stand as far as I have been very... apprehensive, I think that's the best way to put it, about Donald Trump being the president of the United States. There for many reasons, and I think that some of that is bearing out, whether or not this isn't created by the media. There's no way for the media to shove Soviet leaders into a room with the president of the United States and have him blab about classified information. That the media can't make him do that. So that's on his own volition. Including information that was, I mean, we want to be able to rely on our allies. We want our allies to trust us that when they give us information, when we're all trying to keep the world safe, trying to find out as much as possible, and also keep the people who collect that information safe, that's kind of valuable. So you kind of want to be careful.
Yeah, and we don't really do that. America doesn't, like, I feel like there's this kind of James Bond assumption.
Yes.
That we have, like, a spy in every room, in every one of these countries, in all of these situations, and that we actually outsource, like, most of that.
It's a network.
And so, you know, you talk about nationalism, you talk about pulling away from so many, like, ties in certain ways, like, you know, economically aside, take away the benefits or lack thereof of trade agreements, just talking about this type and this arena of diplomacy, you can't jeopardize that at all, because it's not just a relationship with that one country. It's our ability to predict, like, oh, you know, here comes this giant terrorist attack.
Yes. Well, and that was the thing, too, is that there was a breakdown of communication between different agencies in 2000 to 2001 and leading up to 9/11. And whether or not there were, you know, there was infighting or, oh, yeah, there was some issues with collecting information. What's your...
No, I just...
What are your theories?
It's a whole other radio show, I think.
It's all another radio... Yeah. No, but I mean, an example...
Today has enough problems. We don't need to go
to go all the way back. Well, but it's about classified information, and that's only one of the many things that has erupted over the last 3 days. So that was the meeting that he had, that he shared information. By the way, Vladimir Putin is saying that he will release the transcripts. I'm not entirely sure if that's a reliable source.
Is that a reliable source? The truth.
Right. I mean, I don't know how we went from the sort of like the far right being suspicious of the Soviet Union and Russia.
Again,
it's mind-boggling.
It is mind-boggling. It's honestly, I think it's Lyndon B. Johnson's fault.
Wow. But you know what Lyndon B. Johnson said when they were advising him to fire J. Edgar Hoover? He said, and I'm going to paraphrase, I'm going to change the wording. He said, I'd rather have him inside the tent peeing out than outside the tent peeing in, which is the issue that they are now facing. I mean, they threw Comey out.
Yeah.
And now, you know.
Can't do that.
Well, he can. And if that's what they wanted to do, that's all well and good. And now this is where we are. Hey, Margaret, how are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing fine. Please keep us up to date on how these storms are moving.
Okay.
But besides that, you know, I wanted to mention that, you know, your radio station and your program, I think and feel are very respectable to callers when they call in. And, you know, if they have a different opinion,
absolutely,
they're able to express themselves and you're able to have a pleasant discussion, intelligent discussion with them. And some of these people who are really complaining so fiercely about the media and how they are, I mean, aware of what is going on with our federal government right now, and have these people ever listened to some of the other talk shows that are on? I mean, I do turn on other programs because I do want to hear other viewpoints, and after just a few minutes, the hateful speech and derogatory terms that are people are called, you know, these people are that, and just everything else, they're just so hateful in their speech. I'm wondering, do these people ever listen to those stations? Because your station and your program is really, you don't do that. So, you know, I think that's very important for people to realize that, you know, what we're talking about are things that we are concerned about our government, our leaders, the representation we're supposed to have, the policies that are going to affect everybody's life.
Margaret, to that, I think that a lot of people see being sort of having being open to a conversation and listening to every side, they see this as a weakness. Or, you know, the fact that, you know, we were having a conversation or having an opinion that is contrary to theirs, because people also often think that their opinion is part of their identity. And that's hard for me to separate, too. Like, somehow if you attack my opinion, I feel like I'm being attacked. When you the other talk shows that I think you're mentioning, because I want to see what the tone is and what the approach is. You know, there is this, some people are drawn to this sort of angry, sort of dominating attitude, like, and especially if it reinforces their opinion,
right,
that feels good,
like
right?
Yeah.
Well, I hope that people are aware, and sometimes it takes a moment. I have to do it too. I have to be careful of not sort of just going lockstep with people who agree with me too. It is important to keep the dialogue open, and that's why we continue to have the conversation. And I so appreciate that you enjoy it, Margaret.
Well, and I think many other people do. So don't take it to heart, because whoever those people are, I kind of shake my head and say, you know, my mother always talked about common sense and to try to treat people the way you want to be treated, and not to call people names and make up stories and so on. And then that's the way it sounds on some of these other stations. So, you know, keep up the great job, because we appreciate it over here.
Well, and I appreciate you, Margaret. Thank you so much for calling in. We'll take a break here and update everyone on the storms when we come back on 720 WGN. Thank you, Margaret. Oh, man, you are listening pretty late, and there are dozens of great wine shops all over the Chicagoland area, and I've been to many of them, and they hate when I come in and go, well, what goes well with deep dish pizza? And I have to read the side of the bottle. If it actually says pizza on it, that makes me a happy girl. Like, someone took me into consideration when they labeled their bottle, and I didn't know there was someone after my own heart. We have on the line with us, I'm so excited to introduce you to Bianca Bosker. She is the Cork Dork, and she has a boozy memoir that you can come and hear her talk about all of her adventures. Hi, Bianca. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm looking at your resume, first of all. I can't tell my mom that I had a guest on the show that went to Princeton, because she'd be like, see, you could have done it. So I'm guessing your parents are very proud. Tell us a little, because I'm looking at this. I mean, I don't even know where to start, because I love that you have a book called called Bowled Over, A Roll Down Memory Lane, which is a historical review of bowling, of history. I love that.
Thanks. Well, yeah, I am a terrible bowler. I have to start by saying that. But yeah, that was my first book. I actually co-authored it. And yeah, it was a wild adventure. I mean, bowling... God, I mean, it's just such an incredible culture. And I mean, the fashion, don't get me started. It's just incredible.
Are you more of a skorts kind of gal when it comes to bowling?
Oh, what?
The skorts. Right? Skorts. They're shorts that look like skirts. They're shorts underneath the skirt.
Like a sport.
Yeah. I think they have those in bowling. I think
I'm more of, I mean, this is not a fashion choice, probably more of like a bumper lane sort of bowler.
I love it.
I mean, I have to say, I don't know if you've ever been, I don't even know if it still exists, to the Bowling Museum Hall of Fame that used to exist and maybe still does in St. Louis. But was one of the most incredible museums, like, just a full of these portraits of historic bowling figures. But, you know, I have to say that my performance probably doesn't depend too much on what I'm wearing, because it's kind of god-awful either way.
I am the same way. I can bowl a gutter, and then the next one I hit a strike, and then I can't hit another pin for the rest of the rest
of the frames.
My arm
just hurts, even when I was, like, not old. Like, after two swings or whatever, it just hurt. It's just very embarrassing to suck so bad at something.
I always get the thumb injury when I'm bowling. Like, you know,
you can't leave
it?
Your thumb in there.
No.
you have to remove your thumb. You have to be able to let go. Don't hold on so tightly. And maybe it would help if you had some wine. Now, Bianca, what set you down this path of trying all these wines? And really, I love the idea of finding out whether or not a $500 bottle of wine is better than a $50 bottle of wine.
And as you said, pairing wine with Domino's pizza, although that was more the tail end of the journey, I should say. But, you know, I think every wine lover has their wine epiphany. And for a lot of people, that happens, you know, at an incredible glass of wine, sitting across from a beautiful person in a beautiful part of the world. My wine epiphany happened at a computer screen, and it happened, I actually even wasn't drinking wine. I was watching other people drink wine, and through a series of kind of lucky coincidences, I heard about something called the Best Sommelier in the World competition, and I got just hooked on binge-watching videos of this thing, which, if you haven't seen it, is essentially the Westminster dog show with booze. It's these well-groomed specimens walking in circles, super high stakes, these judged on this minutia that you can't even begin to understand. Yeah, and it was, for me, my first introduction to this world of cork dorks. And cork dork isn't just the title of my book. It's the restaurant industry's term for these totally obsessed, knowledgeable, and passionate wine lovers. And part of what intrigued me is that, you know, for this, we think of wine as being this thing of pleasure, and yet they turned it into something that was practically sheer god-awful pain. I mean, in the name of learning more about wine, these people licked rocks to train their palates.
Wait,
to spend more time studying. Yes.
They lick rocks to train their palate?
Then they're done that.
Right.
Oh, well, I mean, just you gotta really get dedicated. I have now licked my fair share of rocks and gummed some dirt. It was actually a sommelier in Chicago who
is this just hazing as you're right. Into the world of wine? This is what they
There's,
do?
I definitely went some Eno hazing along the way, but no, this is actually was recommended advice. This guy was like, look, you know, I lick rocks. And I was like, you know, more out of polite curiosity. I was like, well, what kind of rocks? And he was like, well, any rocks I haven't licked before.
He was only 11 years old, though. So right. it all kind of makes sense.
Well, because all walks taste good.
Wait, so, and what is the purpose of chewing dirt?
Well, the idea is
kind of like licking a rock.
Well, if you think about when people talk about the smells and the tastes of wines, it's often referencing, you know, minerality or wet stone rock or wet dirt or all these types of things. So for some people, it's actually the licking. I mean, I think you can get pretty far out of the way just by smelling it. But I found that, I mean, look, I was a journalist. Like, I've always been obsessed with obsession. And I just found this world of sommeliers fascinating. I mean, I'm going to be totally honest. I had never felt my spirit moved by a glass of grape juice. And I wanted to know, you know, what was the big deal about wine? Why do people spend all this time and money on something at the end of the day turns into very expensive pee?
Thank you. I agree with you on that. Okay. So did you discover why?
Well, that was part of it. Well, I will say that, you know, it was there was a kind of secondary part of the epiphany, and that was that at that point I was a tech editor for a website, and I was living these sommeliers who had kind of honed the sort of sensory skills I associate with bomb-sniffing dogs at airports really made me realize how sterile my life was. You know, that I mean, look, I could stick my nose into a glass of wine and on a really good day tell you I was smelling wine, and they could pick up stories from tastes and smells. And so, long story short, I decided I didn't want to just write about this world of cork dorks. I wanted to know if I could become one of them. So, yeah, quit my job, started over as the lowest of the low, as a cellar rat, and then started training to become a sommelier.
So you are trained.
I am better. Yes. I'm a better sommelier than I am a bowler.
I love that. So you pretty much become immersed in whatever it is that you're studying. Is that kind of the way you enjoy doing these pieces?
Well, I do become very immersed in, you know, every different story that I write in. But I have to say that for Cork Dork, this journey was really unprecedented. I mean, most of the other passions and interests I pursued don't end up with me quitting my job to start over in this totally different field. And, you know, I mean, I just turned my life upside down to really try and understand this world of wine. What was the big deal about wine? Like, I gave up, I mean, besides quitting my job and starting over as a cellar rat, you know, gave up perfumes, salt, any liquids above a lukewarm temperature, daytime sobriety. I mean, look, I went from sitting down to editorial meetings at 9 a.m. to joining these blind tasting groups with aspiring master sommeliers where we were, you know, sitting down most weekday mornings to our first 6 to 12 glasses of wine by 9 a.m. And, you know, I was tipsy by noon and desperately hungover by 2:30 and probably, you know, hoping for a nap around 4. And, you know,
how do you write like that?
Don't go quite that far.
I was going to say, where does the writing happen when you're starting that early and you're really getting into it, learning the craft of understanding wines?
Well, it's a great question. I mean, I will say that it's a topic. Something that makes you sleepy and gives you a headache is a bit anathema to writing. I mean, what ended up happening for me is I really spent a year and a half in hardcore somm boot camp training. I mean, I trained with aspiring master sommeliers. I had sensory scientists, neuroscientists. I even got my brain scanned as a part of all of
what?
This. Yeah, and you know, it was a really, the writing kind of happened afterwards.
Okay.
That was a separate sort of process. Because you're right, it is hard. Maybe some people can do it. I'm not as good at writing under the influence.
But you were
did
journaling.
Did you have to go back through a bunch of drunk journal notes?
Right.
Like, what did I mean by that?
Oh, my gosh. Well, and hearing yourself, I mean, there were some interviews, where I would hear myself after, you know, at the beginning and then after several glasses of wine and, oh, God, not fun. You're no good to hear yourself. I thought I was so put together, but no.
Bianca, I have to take a break here. I'd love to continue our conversation. Can you hold on for a few minutes?
I will be there.
We are talking to Bianca Bosker. She is going to be at the bookseller on Thursday, 7 p.m. So are you in Chicago now or are you still in New York?
Well, I actually was just at the bookseller, but I will be out in Vermont soon. We're going to be doing a Cork Dork weekend, and then if you happen to be in the New York area, I'll be at the 92nd Street Y on Thursday, the 24th of May. But yeah, hopefully back in Chicago sometime soon.
And everyone can get her book. Well, I already mentioned Bowled Over, but also The Cork Dork, a wine-fueled adventure among the obsessive sommeliers, big bottle hunters, and rogue scientists who taught me to live for taste. We're talking to the author, Bianca Bosker. More with her in just a moment on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is Brandon C. Price in studio, the mastermind and CEO of Vamp, a music, comedy, and drinking show, which is perfect for with our guest, Bianca Bosker, who is the Cork Dork. She has written the book, The Cork Dork, and I love that this is all about sommeliers and about people who are on the hunt. There are people who really are driven to find that special bottle of wine, aren't there?
Oh my gosh, possessed.
And what is it is it a bottle they had one time at a restaurant? Is it something that they've heard about, like the golden goose laid an egg somewhere and they've got to try that?
Chasing the dragon.
Well, I think that really where it starts, it's not just the particular bottle, it's this attitude towards wine. I mean, I'm going to sound a little philosophical for a second, but bear with me. I mean,
absolutely.
When you go back and look at Plato and Aristotle, they really decided early on that taste and smell were these animalistic base senses that don't matter. You know, they argue that humans are bad at them, and so, you know, why bother? And I think more than a lot of us realize, that view has really infected science and literature and philosophy and even our everyday lives. And so I think a lot of us really tend to ignore taste and smell, which is sort of sad. I mean, we have 5 senses to make sense of the world, and we kind of dismiss 2 of them. And I think when you look at this world of sommeliers, and even collectors, part of the obsession with wine comes from the fact that they turn that logic on its head. You know, they find that beauty in flavor belongs in the same plane as beauty in art or music, and that wine can really deliver those types of experiences, that like a painting or a piece of music can make you feel small. So I think, you know, part of what I found in my experience of really training with these somms was how to begin to listen to these forgotten senses, how to tune into them. And that's something that I take away from that experience, applying not just to glasses of wine, but really to everything that I encounter now in life.
And that's amazing. And I do love that you bring this down to the level of, here's what goes with a Big Mac. And by the way, what goes with a Big Mac?
Diet Coke.
No. Is there a wine in particular or a type of wine that goes best with, you know, with fast food or...
Yeah, well, I mean...
Because you're living your best life.
Yes.
I think you're referring... So I've been doing this series on social media. It's called Pairdouble. And the idea is basically... You know, look, I've learned so much about wine, and one of the things I've also learned is that wine tends to be, I think a lot of people see it as like the snooty aristocrat of alcohols, and even confident people find it really intimidating, or there's this idea that wine is only for special occasions, and so what I've been doing is pairing wine with the everyday food that we have, slovenly as it may be, because wine can make occasions special. So, like, as part of these Pairdouble I've been doing, one of them was actually a filet of fish from McDonald's.
Okay.
And that is delicious with a Grillo from Sicily, at least in my experience. So the Grillo is the grape. It's a white wine. It's very refreshing and crisp. And, you know, look, in Sicily, they'll drink it with delicious fresh-caught fish. And no, that is not what a filet of fish is, but filet of fish is actually made with some fish. And it's, I got to say, it's a pretty delicious combination. Same with bagel bites and California Pinot Noir, Domino's and a little sparkling wine. You know, I think the point is, like, again, wine, you don't need to wait for an anniversary and you don't have to spend a ton of money. I mean, it can be the thing that you just do on hump day on a Wednesday night.
Oh, no doubt about it. Now, are you particular to red wine or white wine?
You know, I will say, so as part of my training, I ended up working with this incredible Somme who's really this mad genius pirate captain, just crazy awesome guy. I worked at this wine bar with him, and he used to make people promise that they would never try the same wine twice. And I actually think that that's pretty great advice. I mean, if you think about just books, think about books for a second, right? Like, there's some books that we come back to again and again, and they change us. But there's more books in the world that you could ever read in a lifetime. And I think wine is similar. You know, yeah, they're going to be the ones that have a really special place for us, certain memories they evoke. But, man, why not experiment? I mean, live dangerously. So that's what I, mean, that's what I do. I mean, I'm sort of up. If I haven't tried it before, then I like that. That's what I want to do.
I think that's an excellent way to live life in general. I feel like you should really try everything more than once. My question is this. So if I'm starting to, I mean, obviously very amateur aisle, like, you know, covering the whole food selection.
I know, I'm selling, like, cupcake wines, like, and Bianca's right. Taking it up a notch for me.
This
yes.
is from Argentina. I don't know if you've tried it. No, but my question is, so if I'm savoring, if I'm enjoying this, like you said, on a Wednesday night or whenever I want, personally to me, and then I put the cork back in and I put it on my nice little rack that I got from Target, how long can I still enjoy that before... I can't, you know what I mean? Because if I'm trying new things, but I had that bottle that I enjoyed, how long is it allowed to sit there after being opened and then recorked before I should throw it away and stop using it as a decoration?
That's a good question.
Well, I would say you've got a couple of days. Look, there are, it kind of depends on the wine. I think there's some more delicate wines where you're going to notice the effects of oxygen from being open faster, and they're going to kind of head in that vinegar direction faster than you might like. I will also say I've had some pretty bad, very cheap wines that actually get considerably better after a week in the bottle. But, you know, wine is hardier than you think it is. I mean, if it's been a couple of days, if you still think it tastes good, then it's okay. You'll know when it's bad. It's sort of like fish, right? Like, you smell when it's off. I think the same thing applies to wine.
I love that. I know, do you like particular wines with desserts as well? Or is it mostly, you know, entrees and things like that? I mean, because I love red wine with chocolate, and I've heard that you're not supposed to, that's actually contrary to what you're supposed to have with chocolate. I know.
You're supposed to have what you like, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, here's what, I just think that, I was talking about that with someone today. Like, I do think, I remember going before, I have to just say, you know, before all of this, I really didn't know a thing about wine. I was not a wine connoisseur. And, you know, look, now I'm a certified sommelier. I've worked as a sommelier. That was really what the journey that Corked Dork is about. But I remember going to wine tastings and people would be like, well, you know, it's all subjective. You just like what you like. And I think there's some truth to that. But the key thing is you have to have the tools to be able to decide what you like, to be able to articulate it, to be able to pick up on the information a glass of wine so that you can figure out what you do like. And so, I mean, look, if it brings you pleasure, then go for it. That's the key. I think, you know, look, if you're drinking wine and it's not pleasurable, you're doing something wrong. But what I also suggest is, you know, rather than sort of the follow the rules, the basic thing that you can do that I think a lot of people don't do is just learn to listen to your nose. I mean, we can pick up 5 different tastes, whereas scientists estimate that humans can perceive something like 1 trillion different odors. And so when we think about the nuance of wine, it's more in the smell than it is even in the taste. And by the way, I think a lot of us actually can't tell the difference between what is taste and what is smell. So, I mean, my key sort of piece of wine advice, and this is something I learned from one of the master sommeliers who became my wine mentors, is start smelling everything. Build that sense memory. Describe the smell of your shampoo in the morning, of your toothpaste at night, you know, smell the person sitting next to you, you name it. I mean, just try and, like, say the word black pepper when you're, and smell it when you're, before you add it to a dish when you're cooking. What colors does it evoke? What shape? All those things, I think, can really help make more sense out of the stories that exist in a glass of wine.
I love the work that you've done, and everyone can follow Bianca on Instagram. She's got hashtag Pear Devil, also Bianca Bosker on Instagram, and she's got her great book, Cork Dork, A Wine-Fueled Adventure Among the Obsessive Sommeliers, Big Bottle Hunters, and Rogue Scientists Who Taught Me to Live for Taste. It's been a pleasure. I want to have you back on. I almost feel like we should, like, test you. I want to have callers ask you, like, what goes with this and what goes with that. Would you be up for that? I know that...
I am always up to that. You know where to find me. I would love that. That's so kind of you, and thanks for having me tonight.
And again, she's got some great dates coming up on May. Let's see, we've got May 18th. We're in California on the 18th. Actually, tonight on the 17th, you're in Menlo Park at Kepler's Books. But coming up in Vermont, she's going to be at the Northshire Books, and May 24th at the 92nd Street Y. That's wonderful. What a great schedule you've got coming up.
Thank you. Yeah, and tomorrow night I'll be at Book Passage in Sausalito if anyone's out in San Francisco or wants to send their friends. I would love to see them.
You'd be surprised how many people we have all over the country listening to the show, and we look forward to having you back. Have a great night and safe travels.
You too. Cheers. Talk
Cheers.
To you soon.
Cheers.
We have our guest on the line. Before we get to Jim Murphy, the sportsbettingexperts.com guy that we have joining us to talk about Dancing with the Stars and David Ross, we need to take some weather texts from listeners because the rain is really coming in, really coming down hard downtown. What are they telling us?
Oh, man, let me tell you. We got a lot of great texts, especially everyone is being very creative with the way they're writing in, which I'm very much enjoying.
The first texters from Glenview, and I can't remember the other one, the way the thunder was coming, they set the bar.
They painted with words.
Yes.
They were Thomas Kincaid.
All right, go ahead.
All right, well, we got some good ones right here. How about from the 630, weather from beyond the Cheddar Curtain in Milwaukee, storming with lightning so bright that I'm seeing spots and thundering like a kettle drum section is playing,
wow.
Raining hard on and off. Hi, Patty from Amy.
Hi, Amy.
From the 815, we got storms about to hit Shanahan, brilliant lightning approaching.
Ooh.
Here's a good one from the 312, Patty, rain and wind with you now has moved from light to heavy, peeling thunder that sounds like someone threw a bag of bowling balls down the stairs. That's from the 312. And then, of course, we've got somebody shoving it in our face from the 949. Do you know where that's from?
I'm guessing California.
Beautiful, clear night here in Southern California. So good for them.
They're always like mm-hmm. that, those people.
Thank you, SoCal. Thank you so much, Southern California.
You gotta earn it, man.
Jim, where are you calling from? What's the 803, may I ask?
The 803 is South Carolina.
Okay.
I'm calling from outside of Columbia, South Carolina.
Oh, it's the Gamecocks, isn't it?
That is correct. That's my alma mater, and it's a lovely night here in Columbia as well.
Did you hear me in my voice? I was like, am I going to say this word that I have to come right up to? But that's the name of your mascot. I can't help myself.
Yeah, it is. You never really get used to seeing a bunch of young co-eds walking around campus with cocks on the back of their shorts.
Exactly. I'm saying.
You really never get used to.
I studied. I have a degree in history, and I actually went down to your university to do some work. I know I was in this. I was in the highly prized letters from the Confederacy, and it was intimidating. You guys have a great collection. It's an amazing university, but that's not what we're talking to you. We're talking about other things, other paper. We're talking about money. We're talking about betting, and we're talking about Dancing with the Stars. And I saw a piece that asks, is David Ross the worst finalist in the Dancing with the Stars history? But he might win this whole thing. What are the odds, Mr. Sports Betting Expert?
Well, I will tell you these are the odds I did earlier tonight on who will win the whole thing. I've got Normani Cordae as a minus 450 favorite. Rashad Jennings is plus 225. And David Ross, he's the third choice, but plus 700. I mean, it's a very reasonable thing that he could win. When you set betting odds, you're doing it more to reflect what the public thinks rather than what my opinion is.
Right.
So, and that's what the public thinks. He may be the worst finalist, but he's got a huge fan base, and that's 50% of the competition.
I wonder if ABC or anyone in charge of a network is going, wait a minute, these have to all be coming out of Chicago, because
it's weird when the polls tell you one thing,
right? Because how are they judged? I mean, there are the three judges there that go over it and give them the breakdown. Is it viewers that are voting for them? Because I don't watch the show.
Yeah. That's my hunch. Athletes have always done pretty well in Dancing with the Stars. There's a couple reasons why. One is they're coachable, obviously, because that's kind of their thing. And the other thing is they've got a huge loyal fan base. And, that's something like Olympic gymnasts just don't have. And Ross in particular, I mean, he's a very likable guy, as I'm sure you well know.
America's
and,
hero.
Yeah, everyone likes him. And he's played, in addition to the 2 years he played with the Cubs, he played 2 years, actually 3 years total with the Red Sox, 4 years of the Atlanta Braves, and 3 years of the L.A. Dodgers. And, he just missed the Yankees, and that's all the most popular teams in baseball.
That's a good point. Plus, his story is great. And then on top of it, his partner cut loose. She let one go while they were dancing in his face. He flipped her over. You're looking at me, Brandon.
No, I just am listening.
She tooted in his face. Which,
yeah, he may have gotten some sort of consolation prize to the finals just for that.
Yeah, it's a true story, Brandon. Though, tell me a little bit about your background, because this is what you do, and not just for sports or entertainment, but also politics. So this has to be an interesting time for you.
Yeah, it is. We did a lot on the election, which was one of the more bizarre elections in U.S. history, as I'm sure you're well aware.
Yes.
And one of the things that we're really proud of, or I'm personally proud of, is we saw that the polling wasn't matching up with the betting odds about September. And we started to call the question the legitimacy of the polling. And, that ended up being a big story, and we kind of saw it coming miles away. And but we do pretty much everything.
Hold on. We want to live here for a minute. We have a question. I think Brandon has a question about that.
So you're saying that the odds you guys set are based on public opinion, but so is the poll. So what's the difference between the way these polls gather their information and the way y'all do, and why is y'all's way a little bit more, I guess, correct in this point?
Well, one reason is that people have to put their money up to place a bet on a particular candidate. And, when someone calls me for political surveys, I just give them the nuttiest answers I can come up with. And because, I've got no incentive not to. But if you're betting on anything, including a political election, you've got a vested interest into trying to call it as accurately as possible. And that's how I kind of figured it out, is the polling numbers, in theory, should correlate with the what we call the implied probability of the betting lines. And they didn't. And that's kind of where, we kind of got the caught wind of the fact that something was a little bit out of whack.
And do you have anything right now politically that you are setting up for taking bets?
Oh, yes. Yes, I do.
And that would be, you tell me, what do you got going right now?
Oh, we have a lot of things. We actually just did something earlier today about the art department at the Sports Media Experts came up with the ugliest pictures of Andrea Merkel, Putin, a couple other big politicians, including Trump. So I had to kind of set odds around that. And I'm doing another set of Trump odds. For a while, I was doing Trump odds every week, and things kind of calmed down, and I kind of went back to monthly. but I'm going to be doing Trump odds within the next 24 hours.
So can I ask what you're working on? Is it going to be odds he's impeached? Because people are talking about whether or not he'll be indicted before he's impeached. Those are some of the things that are floating around right now.
Yeah, that's going to be a big part of it. Really anything I can come up with. We've done things as far as you know, which of his staff members will be next to go, how many times he'll tweet during a given week. You know, we basically just try to cover all the angles of Trump, and that's kind of what I'll be doing. Obviously, the impeachment and indictment, all that stuff's going to be kind of the top of the bill. But you know, I like to cover the waterfront.
And this is all at sportsbettingexperts.com. How is Spicer doing? How is Spicer doing in your in his odds?
He's surviving. He's been one of the favorites for the next to go, pretty much ever since the election was over. But you know, he still lives to fight another day.
And Comey, was that before you had set up the bets on that?
Actually, Comey, I didn't set odds on because he was not a Trump appointee, and
exactly.
He was kind of a unique animal as the. You know, as it goes. And so it was kind of hard. Basically, what we did is we set odds on all the people Trump brought in.
Okay.
And so we didn't have a number on Comey.
And do you guys, now at the beginning of the baseball season, since the Cubs go into it as world champs, are you taking odds on whether or not we will repeat? And how's that doing?
Some of the sports books that I would imagine most of the sports books that we affiliate with on the website will have numbers up on that. I've been so busy with reality TV and politics that I haven't been able to really focus much on sports.
Prior to this election and everything, I wonder what the percentage of sports coverage to political coverage you guys had and how that changed.
I'm trying to think of put a good number on it. This was really kind of an unprecedented election as far as betting. It was definitely the most heavily bet election in Europe, where it's legal, and I'm not sure any of the elections they've got going on are going to break it. It's just something the Europeans are fascinated with for a while. They kind of got bored with it and stopped betting on it.
Well, it's fun to watch a movie that's not going to affect you so terribly directly.
Like, oh man!
Yeah, I think that might have been part of it. You know, I think it was they had a little bit of detachment from it, and then the fact they like to bet on anything, and you know, they bet on politics for hundreds of years in Europe. So it was kind of a perfect storm, and it was the biggest U.S. presidential election betting in terms of dollars in history.
I love this. I love the idea of, you know, just putting the odds on whatever's out there.
Well, the American dream of money running everything. I feel like this is a beautiful example of capital. I mean, like you said, you found truth that wasn't exposed by the political system in any way because money was talking. I think that's very
speaks
American.
Speaks volumes, yeah. What are some of the reality shows? I'm sorry, you go ahead, Jim. What were you going to say?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just talking about that. There is nothing really more American than money, but... political betting has actually gone on here in the United States for probably about 200 years now. And before polling became sophisticated, that's how the media figured out who was winning, is they quoted the betting odds.
I had no idea.
Yeah, I didn't either. I kind of there was a guy on NPR a couple of years ago who was a historian who talked about this. And for a while, this is late, I guess, 19th century, the New York Election Commission was actually taking action of the elections. So they had little shops set up in the financial district to take bets on the presidential election, like out in the open, run by the Election Commission.
Wow.
Not a little conflict of interest?
Yeah. Just a teeny bit.
Yeah, a little bit, but they really had a real urgency for accuracy because this is how the media, that's the only way they knew who was winning and losing in the pre-polling era. And so if one guy's odds changed, then they figured he was getting some popularity and vice versa. So it was really fascinating, and that was the first time I'd heard that either.
So can people place bets on your website, or do they go to your website for all the handicapping, what the field is like, all your different options, what people are betting on?
We have several sportsbooks we work with. That was kind of one of the things I insisted on when I came on board. I've been in the sports betting business in one form or another probably about 25 years now.
Wow.
And you've done it all, done it on both sides of the counter. I've been a handicapper, a bettor, done a radio show. And I was kind of out of the business. I was doing mostly like writing on the tech industry, and they kind of offered me not only an opportunity to do this, but kind of do it in a unique way. And one of the things I insisted on is I get veto power over all the sports books they recommend. And so they're not going to put up a sports book just because they pay them a really high commission. And I wrote all the reviews myself, and I know a lot about this. I was there at the beginning when the offshore scene started, and I've been into the houses of the people that own these books and played with their kids, and so I've got a really unique perspective on it, and that's one thing we offer that a lot of places don't.
You certainly have a unique perspective on it. I think it's fantastic. Everyone go to sportsbettingexperts.com. I've got to go on this website to take a look at everything. And we'd love to talk to you again. Once I get familiar with all of this, I definitely want to pick your brain about a lot of other things out there.
Yeah, we've got a lot of unique topics, reality show, politics. We're doing the hurricane season. I just like setting odds on unique things. And it gets kind of tedious doing sports every day.
Sure.
It's kind of the same thing every day. So, I've always got something new, and I got the variety, and we have really good information. I put our sports book reviews on par with anyone in the world.
So what's the over-under on Freddie Freeman's injury? Is it going to ruin the season?
I haven't even really looked into that yet. I'd have to do a little more research. And I know it's a diplomatic answer, but in my line of work, you just don't like to guess at things.
There you go.
Fair enough.
Well, Jim, you have a great night. It was great talking to you, and we'd love to catch up with you again.
That'd be great. Like, come back.
Excellent. Go to sportsbettingexperts.com for more information and check out all the great things that Jim's working on. Thanks, Jim. Have a great night.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. We have some pretty severe weather rolling through parts of Illinois, but the heaviest part of the rain seems to have gone through Chicago, moving now, I'm guessing, through onto Indiana and Wisconsin. And every Wednesday night, it is our pleasure to welcome Dr. Dingman on the air with us. He is the iTunes psychic, and he uses his remarkable ability to help you figure out what's going on in your life right now, help you work your way through the future, perhaps look at a past life, by finding out what the last three songs were on your shuffle, whether it was on your iPod or, I use Android. Dr. Dingman, I know that sometimes, people aren't quite sure what those last three songs were, but if you're in the car, you have a good idea what was playing on the radio. Even those count, don't they, Dr. Dingman?
Of course, any song that you randomly hear counts, especially if it's in the car, and it will make an impression on you, whether you're consciously aware of it or not. This is the universe's way of communicating with us through the vibration of sound, and the song titles that pop up directly relate to what's going on in your life and what your life has in store in the immediate future. It may sound crazy to people that have not heard me on your program before, Patty, but it's based on research from Dr. Nikola Tesla. He did zero-point energy work and was... I'm not going to go into a long dissertation on Tesla. People that know him understand it. People that don't should get to know him. But suffice to say, he was 100 years ahead in his thinking, and now we are just understanding some of the nuances of his work, and I'm helping to interpret it for people who need guidance or self-assurance or just a couple of laughs,
Right, whichever way it goes, and I love how patient you are. And by the way, our listeners are very brave to share their stories as well. We've had some remarkable callers in the last few weeks, and we encourage you to call us. Our number is 312-981-7200, and Dr. Dingman will read you, I guess. Well, how do you put it? I'll do a reading for you, I guess.
I do psychic readings. The songs, every psychic has their own way in. Some people look at your hand. Some people use tarot cards. Some people look at your aura. Some people, tell you to give them $50, and then suddenly they can magically see your future. We all have different ways of tapping into the cosmic Akashic. magic consciousness, and the music and vibration happens to be the way that works for me. That's all it is.
And really, you know, we're not, no one has a fork over $50 to have a reading from Dr. Dingman. As a matter of fact,
never ever take money for a reading, Patty.
No, you never do. As a matter of fact, because this segment is about reading the vibrations, you can pick up some items from Apt Electronics. If you call in, and you know, we will do this for the first caller, and we'll have something for the other callers as well. But 312-981-7200, we are offering you something because it is hard. People feel vulnerable when they have a reading done, and that's been the case. And we're always thrilled when people call in and really kind of turn themselves over to you in a way. I guess it's a weird way to put it, but that's the way I look at it.
I think it's accurate. Also, I think people are always, fear is the biggest inhibitor to people living their best lives. If you look through literature or through art or whatever, fear is the blockade that stops people from being all they can be. They're afraid to ask the person that they're sweet on out on a date. They're afraid to ask their boss for a raise. They're afraid to try something new. Fear, I mean, you should be afraid of jumping off a building, but irrational fears are not positive for personal growth. So there's no reason to be afraid to call in. This is an anonymous. We're on the radio. It doesn't really matter. So if you would like to find out what the future has in store for you, this is a great way to find out. And if you go onto my Facebook page, which is the iTunes Psychic on the Facebook, someone I did a reading for 2 months ago just sent me a video saying how accurate it was and how I told her to dump her loser boyfriend, and she did, and now she's very happy. So there's quite a successful track record, and I really appreciate you offering your listeners this opportunity every week, every Wednesday night. It's fun to talk to people in Chicago as I travel around the country, and it's always a pleasure to talk to you, Patty.
Well, it's always a pleasure not only to talk to you, but to enjoy your insight. It really has been remarkable. We have on the line with us
Tom. I'm intentionally hilarious, Patty. It's very enjoyable. Sure.
No doubt about it. Tom is on the line. Would love to find out what Tom, what are your three songs that you would like to share with Dr. Dingman?
Can't Find My Way Home.
Okay.
That's by Eric Clapton and Steve Winwood.
Mm-hmm.
Europa by Santana. And Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo by Johnny Winter.
Ooh.
Right, so Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo, Europa, and Can't Find My Way Home.
Yes.
Okay. You're in a relationship now, Tom?
Unfortunately, no.
Okay, yeah. I'm seeing that you're looking to find... Excuse me?
Patty's married, and there's nothing I can do about that.
I know, it's a scourge, isn't it? Everyone wants to be married to Patty, but unfortunately, she can only be married to one lucky man.
Yes, and I...
So you're single, Tom. Yeah, I'm seeing that you're single, and what these songs mean, Europa, Can't Find My Way Home, and what was the third one?
Rock and Roll, Hoochie Coo.
Hoochie Coo, right. Yeah, I'm seeing romance. Are you planning a trip to a foreign place soon?
Well, as foreign as I get, it would be Reno.
Mm, that's foreign, as far as I'm concerned.
There's a lot of foreign. Yeah, I see that you're going to Reno. Is it in June or July?
July.
Yeah, okay. That's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing this trip to Reno in July. That's what Can't Find Your Way Home and Europa. Europa sounds very similar to Eureka. And what did they find in Nevada in the 1840s?
Gold. You're a genius.
Gold and silver. Nevada is the silver state. And actually, as a matter of fact, on the California flag, one of the words on there is Eureka, because that's what, for some reason, what the miners screamed when they found gold. I guess that was the word of the day back in the 1840s. And what I'm seeing is that you are going west for your Eureka Hoochie Coo moment. And this
You're
is
amazing.
Happening in July.
Yes.
What was that, Tom?
So you were amazing. July Independence Day. I can see it all now.
Yeah, you already have plans to go there at that time, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay, I saw that. What I'm seeing, the Hoochie Coo part, Tom, I don't want to be indelicate here, but have you ever in your life, on a whim, patronized, what's the right term that I can use on the...
You're making me nervous.
A paramour? A paid paramour?
Oh, a paid paramour.
A paid paramour. Excellent, excellent use of the English language, Tom.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, sir.
Is that a yes or a no? Have you ever patronized a paid paramour?
Not yet.
Okay.
Ooh.
I'm seeing...
Not yet.
I'm seeing that is what is going to happen in July. Whether...
One can only hope.
Yes, that's what I'm seeing. You're going to Reno, and you're going to meet a hooker with a silver tooth. Right?
Ooh.
That's the eureka moment. She's going to have a silver tooth like a prize fighter.
Like a prize fighter, okay.
It's a permanent tooth, but you are going to meet this woman, and you're going to develop a relationship. It's going to begin as a business relationship, but it will quickly metamorphosize or metastasize, depending on your point of view, into an actual non-paying friendship.
So when I see the silver, I'm going to go eureka.
Ooh.
That would be your clue.
Ooh.
I think maybe you should play it a little cooler. How long has it been since you've been on a straight-up date, Tom? I'm seeing 6. Has it been 6 years?
Not quite that long. Maybe 3.
Okay, 3 years. All right.
For a straight-up date. So, a couple things in between, but not really a date.
Okay. All right. So, like all of us, you get a little rusty, and I see that's what's going to happen here. It's going to be a eureka moment for you because you're going to find this person, and she may not be a paid paramour. She could also be someone that you're paying for a different service. Maybe it's an Uber driver. Maybe it's a cocktail waitress bringing you a beverage. It doesn't necessarily. What I'm seeing. What happens, Tom, is I get these 3 song titles from you, right, and then I see movies in my head, and then I kind of try and interpret them with your help so that we can understand what these movies mean together. And what I'm seeing is a smiling, redheaded woman in a green dress with a silver tooth being very solicitous of you and taking money from you. But then I'm also fast forwarding, and I'm seeing you laying around the pool. You're wearing a checkered bathing suit, and
ooh,
she's drinking a big umbrella drink.
Sounds wonderful.
It does kind of.
So
yeah,
she's going to be an Uber driver, and I'm going to pay her for a ride.
Ooh.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying money is going to change hands, and you're going to become friends and then more than friends, if you get my drift, Tom.
Sounds good to me.
Excellent.
I'm looking forward to this.
Well, there you go.
Thank you.
Okay, now, there are some things you have to do before you reach this point so that you'll be able, because as we've discussed, you've been out of the loop, out of the romantic loop for a while. We need to adjust your vibration so that you are ready to play the game on the day that it's scheduled. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I've tried to adjust my vibration myself a couple of times.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about that on the radio.
Okay.
Oh, dear.
Hoochie Coochie. Do you know who wrote that song?
Yes, the guy who wrote Hang On, Swoopy. He was from Ohio. Rick Derringer.
No. No, 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 no. The Hoochie Coochie Man was Muddy Waters, McKinley Morganfield,
yes,
who was born in Mississippi and made his name in Chicago, developing the electronic blues in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s at Chess Records. If there was a Mount Rushmore of American musicians, he'd be on it, okay? And one of his favorite famous songs is your Hoochie Coochie Man. Boom, 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 boom. That song, that's him. That's Hoochie Coochie. And there is a vibration in that song that is so, sexual and guttural and sexual is the best way to put it. You right now, you're not at that level. You need to lower your vibration to get to that level. Do you understand what I'm saying, Tom?
I do.
You got to get down and get sexy, Tom, is what I'm saying.
Perhaps Patty could have that as a background for your bit. I mean, your time on the radio.
Actually, what I think is the best idea is I would like to, I often ask people to do exercises to change their own vibration. We need to change your vibration, Tom, right now. And I want to hear you. There's a refrain in the song where Muddy Waters goes, how, 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 how.
Oh,
What that is doing, it's a...
Dada Dingman, I almost feel like you... Dada Dingman, I almost feel like you need to do a little bit deeper, as a matter of fact. I'm just saying...
How. Yes, it's a mantra almost.
Yes.
You've heard... I'm sure, Tom, you've heard of the Eastern religions, people talking about mantras for meditation and things like that, yeah?
And throat singing, right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And what all that does is it tunes your brain. Sound is a vibration. And there are alpha waves, beta waves, gamma waves in your brain. It tunes your brain to the right frequency so that it puts you in the right frame of mind. And we need to get you into a sexual, open, romantic, appealing frame of mind. And the Hoochie Coochie song is the key to this. So I would like to hear you do the how. And over and over, like it's your mantra, all right? Let me hear you do it first, and then we'll coach you.
How.
Ooh, that's pretty
you
close.
You sound like a sick Native American.
I'm sorry, I'm not laughing at you, Tom. You gave that a valiant effort, and now Dr. Dingman will coach you through that. Yes, go ahead.
Yes, it's a fantastic first effort, but what you're making the sound in your throat, I need it to come from your loins, from your gut. I need you to think back, Tom, to, I'm sure there's been one woman in your life who rocked your sexual world more than all the others, right? There's one where you think back and go, oh, that was the one, right? There's a name. I'm getting a Betty or a Betsy. Is there a Betsy in your past?
Yeah, could have been.
Okay.
You don't remember?
No. But
he's being discreet.
Yes.
He's being discreet. Okay.
Yes.
I don't kiss and tell or anything else until.
There you go.
Okay. This is much more about the anything else. I need you to remember that person. And now make the sound again, putting yourself in that guttural, sexual frame of mind. Ready? Try it again.
How, baby.
No. You're
just how.
How.
It sounds to me like you're not taking this seriously, Tom.
Seriously?
You're not taking this seriously. I take
life seriously, my friend.
Here, hold on. I think Michael, hold on, Dr. Dingman and Tom, I think Michael can help you out a little bit here.
All right, this isn't the how part, but this is the feeling of the song right here. So you got to
feel
get
it, Tom? You got to feel it.
Energy.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. There you go.
You feel that?
Yeah.
That's Muddy Waters.
Oh, yeah.
They called him the panty dropper, Tom. Do you know why?
They called him the what?
The panty dropper. This was a black man. This was a black man in Chicago in the 50s who had white women throwing themselves at him because he was so amazingly talented and so amazingly sexually appealing. Now, think about that. This is 70 years ago. And the man was so appealing that color, race did not matter. Women gravitated towards him. And that's what we need to bring out of you. So that when you see your silver-toothed vixen in Reno in July, that you're a meal for her and not a toothpick afterwards. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes. And color and race never made any difference to me.
Nor should it.
It was good for you. It's good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but as I'm sure you can understand, in Chicago in the 50s, there were two separate societies. And actually, Muddy Waters was one of the first black artists that really crossed over into the white consciousness, courtesy of the Rolling Stones, late in his career. The Rolling Stones took him on concert with them and introduced his music to a white audience that had never heard of him before. But in Chicago,
he
was...
The name came from a Muddy Waters song, like a Rolling Stone.
Exactly. Exactly. So he is universally regarded in the rock and roll music as a pioneer, as a pillar of not only musical inventiveness, but raw sexual power. And well, that's what I'm trying to transfer. That's why that song came up for you, Tom.
That's
so
right.
You need to tap into that feeling. So one more time, Tom, let me hear it.
Let's hear it, Tom.
Hello?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Oh. How.
Much better, Tom.
Yeah.
Ow.
Wonderful. I think I'm not saying I'm not dropping stuff, but that's for somebody else. That's for your for the hottie in Reno.
There you go. For the paid paramour.
That's right.
Okay.
Have a great night, Tom. Hold on the line. Tom, go ahead.
Did you feel different, Tom? Did you feel a difference in the last time compared to the first time you did it?
Oh, absolutely.
We all felt it.
I've been told that before.
All right. You're a funny man, Tom. I enjoy that. So, listen, do me a favor. You go. You're going to meet this woman. I told you she's going to have red hair. She's going to be wearing a green, either it's a dress or a top with no sleeves. And she'll have a silver tooth. So call Patty's show back when you get back after the July trip to Reno. And tell me if I was right or wrong.
Excellent. You make sure you do that, Tom, and hold on the line because Michael's going to get your information for an Apple Electronics gift card. Of course, we loved having Dr. Dingman on the show. We have to run, Dr. Dingman. How can people find out more about your wonderful skills?
They can follow me on the Twitter at iTunes Psychic, and you can see videos and listen to my own show on the Facebook. It's Facebook. Look for iTunes Psychic, all one word, on the Facebook.
Wonderful. Have a great evening and safe travels, sir, as always.
How to you, Patty.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Dr. Dingman, our very own iTunes Psychic. More after this on 720 WGN.
Tell me something good. Tell me that you love me, yeah.
You are listening pretty late. We are almost done here. We turn the reins over to Nick DiGilio after 2 a.m. And this is when we go around the horn and see what's good in everyone's lives. Michael, what's going on? Tell me something good.
Oh, I got a lot of good stuff that happened today. So I've been trying this new diet because in the break we were talking about falling asleep.
Yes.
And I've been having this thing where I eat so much food in the middle of the night, and it keeps me up, and it makes my mornings really hard to go through.
Sure.
So lately I've been not eating before bed, and it's really helped out. And today I got a lot of stuff done, and to be honest, I got to speak to a lot of friends and family. It's like my whole life changed from not eating like 10 bowls of cereal before I went to bed. So
10 that was bowls of cereal before you went to bed?
Well, it's more like 3.
It's a lot of sugar, though.
Yeah.
Can be.
I love it.
Well, congratulations. It's hard. It's hard not to, because when you get off of work, mm-hmm. right, we work until 2 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
We get home 3 in the morning. That's the end of our day,
mm-hmm.
but it's also bedtime, so it's very confusing. So good on you.
Thank you very much. Oh, you know what? I take it back. That thing is also good. But last night, we got some crazy news. Producer Dan Shugrew, his wife went into labor last night.
Yes, we don't even know what happened. Esmeralda, do we know what happened?
False alarm.
Oh.
Oh.
Well, still good things, though.
What time did you leave, by the way?
At 4:10 in the morning.
Okay, because you were filling in. You were called on to step in for Dan.
Yes, but it was very, very cool. I'm a huge fan of Nick DiGilio's show. I mean, I've listened to it nearly every night since I've been working here, and getting to like work next to him before he gets his Walk of Fame thing.
He's on the Walk of Fame.
That's huge. I got to see Dan Long, Dan Shugrew. I mean, it was an awesome night.
Well,
so,
there you go.
Yeah, very thankful.
That is a good night. Mm-hmm. Esmeralda, what's going on in your world that's good?
I saw Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Did you like it?
Yes.
Isn't that fun?
I loved it. It made me cry so much at the end.
I know. I enjoyed it very much.
It was so good. I enjoyed it.
I am Groot.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. It's adorable.
Isn't he, though?
Yes. And I got to eat popcorn.
And by the way, we had Michael Rooker on the show who was talking about how different his role was in this. And I was like, uh-huh, sure, whatever.
Totally.
He was great.
He was so good.
And yeah. We don't want to talk about like how that turns out, but yeah. he was outstanding. Did you see the first one?
Yes.
Okay. Because yes. I like both of them.
I like both of them too.
How about Kurt Russell?
I heard that they didn't use any CGI or anything on the young version of him.
It was mostly his makeup artist that he's had for over 20 years since he made, not Tango and Cash, Tequila Sunrise. Was it Tequila Sunrise? There's a movie with him and Mel Gibson.
Sure.
Yes. Where I think he plays a cop and Mel Gibson plays a drug runner. But anyway, not since that movie. Ever since that movie, he's had the same makeup artist.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was like, I think it was lots and lots of putty.
It was remarkable. It is Tequila Sunrise? Yeah.
I don't. Yep, the 1988 thriller?
Was it 88? I don't remember it at all. I did not see that when it first came out. I don't remember that. Not even a little. My parents always took me to movies that were not appropriate for my age. So that works out. That sounds about right. I enjoyed that one. Michelle Pfeiffer as well is in that movie, by the way. It's a really good movie. I wonder if it holds up. But yeah, I'm glad that you enjoyed that. I think it was a fun, and plus the soundtrack.
Yeah, super good. Everything good all around.
All good stuff. Well, it's funny because we took Griffin to see Guardians of the Galaxy last week because we had an opportunity. My son Declan, who has he has a neurological disorder, every once in a while we have the opportunity to use respite services at the Jewish Child and Family Services. They're amazing, and they watched them for a few hours, and we went to go see Guardians of the Galaxy, and we loved it. Did you see it in 3D? By the way,
no, just regular old 2D.
I found out something during the 3D version of it, because I forgot my prescription glasses, and I only had my prescription sunglasses, and I was kind of torn, and I put those on, and it works. Like, the movie, the 3D version of it isn't necessarily all 3D, but it sort of equalizes it where I can watch it with my prescription glasses and not have to put on the 3D glasses. Does that make sense?
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It was crisp. It was clear. It wasn't, like I said, not necessarily 3D, but the movie is so bright. It worked really well for me. So that's a little tip for anyone who has prescription sunglasses and doesn't want to use the 3D glasses and everyone else in your group does, because it makes me a little nauseous too. 3D.
Yeah, no, me too.
Yeah. I'm just saying. It's a little much for me. Yes, Michael? Was there a text? I wasn't sure. Looked like you were reading text. I wasn't sure.
Like, I was getting a song ready.
Oh, were you really?
Mm-hmm.
You're getting a song ready?
Yeah.
From what?
From the letter that you were going to send.
Oh, for the letter.
Mm-hmm.
I this is hard for me because I will read my essays every once in a while. Earlier this week, I read Mommy Kisses, which is something I wrote not too long ago. And I wanted to share it with you after Mother's Day. And one of the things that I'm so proud of as a mom is how incredible my sons are. And they make me want to be a better mom every single day. Griffin is really passionate. He takes things very, he really internalizes things. He is incredibly empathetic to people. He has he's sensitive. And I worry when I talk about him that people are like, oh, he's just a snowflake. He's a buttercup if he's worried about the way people talk to each other. And I wasn't sure about posting this note that he wrote today. Declan, my younger son, has special needs. And throughout Griffin's life, we've heard people use the word retarded, including family members. One of my nephews, JoJo, one Christmas was like, this Christmas is retarded. This gift is retarded. And I pulled him aside and I said, I just want you to know that your cousin Declan, people are going to call him that name. And I just want you to be aware of that. And he used a cuss word because he was like, he was so embarrassed. He said, oh, F. And I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to let that one slide too. I only can put out one fire at a time. But at Griffin's school, he goes to high school, even though he's only in seventh grade. He's in a program that it's called an academic center. And there are a lot of kids who casually throw around the word retarded. And Griffin says it happens all the time. And it's been bugging him. But then one of his really good friends, someone he really admires and enjoys spending time with, used the word and during an improv class. And so Griffin said, Mommy, I have to write him a note. And I don't know what else to do. And so he wrote this note to his friend. He said, dear my friend, we use his name. I'm leaving that out. He said, I was a little taken aback by your nonchalant attitude towards using the word retarded in a hurtful way. I know you didn't mean to be offensive, but when you spend the better part of 13 years as the brother of a boy with hypoplasia of the corpus callosum, it isn't just a joking insult. It's a word that carries much more violence and hatred than you realize. It's a word that's used to put people like my brother down, to tell them they aren't worth as much, that they don't matter. It isn't a medical term used by modern doctors. It's a term used by bullies bent on making the lives of children miserable. Declan is missing part of his brain. He spent the first several weeks of his life with oxygen support to help him breathe. He may never talk, but he is one of the most wonderful people I've ever known. I hope you never have to know firsthand what it's like to have a disability or to have a loved one with one. But if you don't live a life affected by a handicap, please respect those who do. You are lucky enough to have a functioning body and a mind that lives up to society's expectations, so being expected to refrain from using that word is a very small favor to ask. When you defend your comment by saying, true, but he is, you're not making it better. You aren't mentioning the fact that the person you're insulting has a disability. What you're really saying is that because you think he's an idiot, he must have special needs. When you suggest this, not only is this disrespectful, but it's outrageously unfounded. Some of the most brilliant minds to have ever lived on Earth were thought to have had autism, such as Michelangelo, Isaac Newton, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, and Albert Einstein. Again, I know you didn't mean it in an offensive way, but just remember that when you say something is retarded, I will never hear a synonym for stupid. I hear the word that was spray painted on my little brother's school alongside swastikas. Your friend, Griffin. Griffin wrote every single word. I only read this after he was done, and I've edited it because I didn't want to use some of the names of the people that Griffin's friend was into imitating. And that's my son. I'm so incredibly proud of him. And that's the end of our show tonight.